Let's read together Psalm 30. In this psalm, David rejoices in the Lord because God has raised him up from some sickness, and he is determined to praise the Lord in this life because he would not have been able to praise the Lord from the grave if he had died. Psalm 30, beginning with verse 1. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Let's begin our study of Psalm 30 with some background notes. We read in the title of this psalm that it was a song for the dedication of the house or temple. Now that leads to a couple of questions. We know that this could not have been written by David at the time of the dedication of the temple because the temple was built by King Solomon after the death of David. So if this psalm was for the dedication of the temple, it would have had to be written ahead of time before David died, which is a possibility. But then when we look at the content of this psalm, it doesn't seem to have anything to do with the dedication of the temple, but rather it has to do with a time of healing in David's life. So why would David write this psalm for the future dedication of the temple? Or why would the Levites under Solomon choose this psalm of David for the dedication of the temple? Or why would a later inspired writer possibly put this title on the psalm and use it for liturgical purposes in memory of the dedication of the temple when it had to do with David's healing from some sickness? Well, another possibility is that the house of the Lord here is not the temple, but the temporary tent that David set up in Jerusalem to house the Ark of the Covenant until the temple was built. I'm reading 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 17. So they brought the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle or tent that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 17. But then again, why this psalm referring to David's healing? Well, these are tough questions, and we don't have all the answers, but the following scenario is a good possibility and does fit the context. In this scenario, the occasion is not the dedication of the temple, or the tent, the temporary tent that David set up, but it is the dedication of the site of the future temple. And this took place soon after David bought the threshing floor from Arona or Ornan the Jebusite. Now, do you remember the occasion of that purchase? David had wrongly numbered the children of Israel out of pride, and he failed to trust the Lord completely for protection and direction. And as a result, God disciplined Israel with 3 days of pestilence or plague throughout the land, and 70,000 men of Israel got sick and died. Now, it could be that David himself got sick on this occasion and was close to death, but God raised him up. In any case, it was at this point that the Lord, through the prophet Gad, told David to erect an altar of sacrifice to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So David obeyed, and the plague was stopped, and the site was designated as the future site of the temple. I'm reading 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 25 and 26. So David gave Ornan 600 shekels of gold by weight for the place. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called on the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire on the altar of burnt offering. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 25 and 26. And now 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 1. Then David said, "This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of burnt offering for Israel." So in this scenario then, Psalm 30 was written here for the dedication of the site of the temple. And it was soon after the plague was stopped, and the land was healed, and David himself was healed and raised up from near death. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Psalm 30. Doctrinal point number one, believers should praise the Lord when they are healed from sickness. Believers should praise the Lord when they are healed from sickness. Believers always pray when they are sick or when others are sick, and that is right and biblical. And when God chooses to heal us, we usually thank the Lord. But I think that we are probably more fervent in our prayers for healing when we or others are sick than we are with our thanksgivings and praise when God does heal us and make us well again. Would you agree? So this doctrinal point is good for all of us. Believers should praise the Lord when they are healed from sickness. Notice in the first few verses of this psalm how David does not hold back in his praise to the Lord for his healing and restoration, and he encourages others to praise the Lord as well. Let's look at those first few verses once again. "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name." Verses 1 through 4. Verses 5 through 7 certainly back up the scenario that we presented earlier concerning the occasion of this psalm. In reference to David proudly taking the military census in Israel, we read about the anger of the Lord in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 1. That is probably the anger of the Lord that we read about here in verse 5 of Psalm 30. His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. In verse 6, we see that David acknowledged that it was his pride and independence that was the problem and led to God's judgment and discipline and sickness. Verse 6, "Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved." And in verse 7, David realized that it was only by God's grace that his kingdom was safe and secure, and that without the attention of the Lord's face, as it were, there was no blessing. Verse 7, "Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled." So without the attention of the Lord's face, as it were, there was no blessing. But by God's grace, restoration has come. So in David's case, it seems that it was disciplinary sickness from which he was healed. But this psalm can certainly be applied to any kind of sickness in the believer's life. Believers should praise the Lord when they are healed from sickness. And doctrinal point number two, believers should praise the Lord while they are still alive. Believers should praise the Lord while they are still alive. Verse 9, "What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth?" David's point in this verse is that if he were to die and go down to the pit, that is the grave, then he would not be able to praise the Lord and give testimony to the Lord's faithfulness. Now we know that when we as believers die and go to heaven, we will praise the Lord forever. And David realized this too, as we read at the end of verse 12, "O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." But the point that David is making here in Psalm 30 is that if he died, he would no longer be able to praise the Lord as a testimony to others of God's faithfulness. And the same should be true in our lives. When the Lord raises us up from sickness and turns our mourning into dancing and sorrow into gladness, verse 11, we should not be silent, verse 12, but we should verbalize our thanks and praise to God before others. We can be thankful for good medicine and good doctors, but it is the Lord's faithfulness that is the bottom line as to our healing. So as long as we are alive, let us thank the Lord for our health and strength and healing from sickness or disease. Believers should praise the Lord while they are still alive. What about practical application from Psalm 30? Practical application number one. Are you ready for the Lord's answer to all your questions? Are you ready for the Lord's answer to all your questions? Suppose we were to ask the Lord the same question that David asked the Lord in verse 9. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? In other words, Lord, how could my death now be of any profit or gain or blessing to you or to anyone? Let me ask you, are you ready for the Lord's answer to that question? By the way, you may not want to pose that question to your fellow believers. They may give you an answer that would not be too encouraging. But suppose the Lord himself were to answer you in the following way. You ask me, how could your death now be of any profit or gain or blessing? Well, you don't serve me or praise me or thank me much in this life. You just take everything I give you for granted. And not only that, you complain so often. Why shouldn't I take you home to heaven now? And you don't read my word much, and you don't have family devotions, and you lose your temper and hurt other folks all the time. Your death would be a real blessing to many of your fellow believers, including your own family. Let me ask you, are you ready for an answer like that from the Lord? Let's hope not. Now, we love the Lord to answer our questions. But are you ready for the Lord's answer to all your questions? Practical application number two. Remember, night does not last forever. Remember, night does not last forever. Verse 5, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Are any of you experiencing a night of sorrow right now in any way? Remember, night does not last forever. That's the point that David makes in verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So whether it be weeping because of sickness or sorrow or persecution or loneliness, it will not last forever. The faithful remnant during the tribulation period will go through a long night of sorrow and persecution. Some will actually be martyred. But the night will not last forever. The morning will come with the Lord's return. The prophet Malachi writes of that glorious morning in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Malachi 4:2. And that morning light will never end. So if you're a believer and you're facing any kind of night right now, remember, night does not last forever.